Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bamitzia, daf mem tes. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Yamin. But the Gemara continues on the related discussion from the previous daf, which was discussed in the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding that although we say that halachically a kinyan is only transferred when there is the mashicha of the object, but if ma'is are given, if the money is given, it's not going to be kaina, again, which is the machlekes, Rabbi Yechon, Shlakish, if that's even according to biblical law, or that's only a rabbinic injunction because of the concerns of the lekach, that his stuff shouldn't get burned. But either way, the halacha is that by giving the money, it does not affect the kinyan. Now, on that, the Mishnah tells, however, but there is a mishapara. It is a curse for whoever backs out of his word after the money has given, he gets a punishment from heaven. Now, that argument continues in a related vein regarding someone who backs out even without money being given. The Gemara tells us, Rav Kahana, Yovulei Zuzi Akisna. Rav Kahana, he was given money to himself of monies for that someone wanted to purchase from him linen. Now, Lesaif Ayakar Kisna, ultimately the price of linen went up, and also Kamid Rav, so he came in front of Rav, which is significant because of the machlikis that we had from Rav and Rabbi Yechanan on the previous staff. So he wanted to come and he wanted to retract. He didn't want to go ahead with the sale anymore because it's worth that much more, and he'd rather not give it to the cheaper price to the consumer who had given them money. So Malaysa Rav said to Rav Kahana, "B'mai dinikitas zuzi havlahu." Regarding the money that he had given you, according to that amount of money that I had given to you, that amount you have to give him. And if not, if you're going to back out, although halachically you're allowed to back out once money is given, but regarding that amount, you have to accept upon yourself the curse of the mishapara. But says Rav, "V'idach," but the amount beyond that amount, because he only gave you a certain amount of money. He didn't give you the entire amount of the linen that he's buying. He only gave you a small amount of that money. The rest of that, dvarim ninu, are only words. There was just an oral commitment. There was no money in regards to the rest of that linen. And this is, as Rashi points out, Rav, according to his opinion from the previous daf, that says that when there's neiravin, when there's a down payment, a deposit, the security given, you only acquire in that object that you're buying, whether it be karka, totally a kinyan, or regarding metaltan, at least regards to the mishapara, only correlating to the amount of money that you gave. But the rest of that, there is not even any halacha, even of mishapara. So the rest of that is just words. Says Rav, udvarim ein behem mishum mechusri amana, and retraction of an oral commitment, you don't even have what's called lacking of faithfulness. Didma, like we learned, that it's actually a machlekes dvarim regarding if someone wants to back out of just words. Up until then, we were discussing that it wasn't just words, it was words with money. So even there, halachically, you're allowed to, but then you get to mishabara. Let's say it's just not even money was transferred, just oral commitment that we're going to go through with the sale, and someone wants to back out. So Rav, as we just quoted from the story, he says, it's not considered a lack of faithfulness. It was an oral commitment, but you could back out. But Rabbi Yechanan, he says, no, yesh behem mishum mechus yaman. He says, there is considered a lack of faithfulness, and even that would be problematic. Rav said, it's not a problem, because only regarding to how much the money was given, that is a mishapar, but beyond that, there's no halachic problems. Now, that the Gemara is meisvei. The Gemara is from the following braisa on Rav. Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Omer, he says, Matam Olema, what does the Pasuk in the Yikra teach us? And this is in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Lamed Vav, that talks about the halacha of having the just weights, meiznei tzedek, righteous weights, avnei tzedek, righteous stones, eifas tzedek, which is a certain type of a measurement. Each one has to be halachically the right amount. And it says hin tzedek, which is also a certain measurement. It has to be justice. Now, the question is, v'aloi hin b'chlal eifa haya. A hin is 12 log, which again, these are measurements. And the eifa, which are 3 sa'in, are 72 logan. So why does the pasuk have to mention, when if it's talking about measurements of volume, why is it mentioned individually a hin tzedek when they already said eifa tzedek, which already it's already included in the category of eifa? The rest are totally different things: the weights, the rocks, that the bricks that you use to weigh those stones. But why, if it's talking about the actual thing that's being measured, why does it say differently an eifa and a hin? So it says the base of Yehuda, that Elohim, who is coming to teach you, is the following halacha concept. The word hin can mean either a hin, which is a measurement, but also can mean from the word of hen, which means yes. In other words, when you say yes or no, you have to fulfill your words. They should be justified too. And therefore, that's what the pasuk is telling you. Your hin, your yes, should be tzedek, should be righteous, should be, you should follow through on your word. So you see that backing out on your word is considered a halachic problem. So that's not like Rav, who said that there's no problem with chosre mana backing out on one's word. Not in my Abaye says no. Ahu, that halacha of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, when that your words should be tzedek, is shalo yedaber echad bepeh ve'echad b'leiv, that a person shouldn't speak one thing with his mouth and another thing in his heart. In other words, when he's saying the words, he has no intention of fulfilling that. That is what the pasuk is saying, that you should not change what you had at the time that you said it. But if, let's say, at a later point in time, when he made up, he intended to go through with it, but then the market value changed, and now he wants to back out because he doesn't want to sell, that is no problem. Chosra mana, that's what Rav's halacha is, that he wasn't echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. The halachic problem of Yisrael Yehuda is when you're saying one thing, but you really mean something else, that's what hen shalcha should be tzedek. So the Gemara continues asking Meisvei, again on Rav, for the following brisa. Pshimon Amir, he says, although that they said that talis koine din azav, that when there's a transfer of money and of an object, where in this case the talis considered the object and then the golden dinar is considered the money, so a talis, when the consumer takes the possession of the talis, that automatically acquires the golden dinar to the seller, and the ein din azav of koine talis, which is the halacha of a mishnah, but the golden dinar, which is considered the money, will not acquire the object, which is the talis. Now, mikal makam kach halacha. However, although that is the halacha, as we said, that if, let's say, the money was given, as long as the talis was not taken, they could back out. Avalamar, but they said, mishapar ma'ashe dar hamabul, ma'ashe dar haflaga, he who punished, who collected from the people of the generation of the flood and the generation of the dispersion, who also lipar mimisha in oimim bidibur, he's going to end up punishing he who does not stand by his words. Now, actually, the primary question, as Rashi points out, is from the end of that brisa, which says that in general, anyone that backs out, ein ruach hachacham neichemenu. I mean, the Mishnah part is when there was also money given out and words. But additionally, is even if, let's say, money was not given, the Braisa ends off by saying that the spirit of the sages are not pleased with such a person. So you see that this is considered a lack of faithfulness, even when you're just backing out of the words, which is not like Rav. So I think Moran says, you're right, obviously, that this Braisa is not like Rav, but Tanoihi, it's a machlikis Tanoim, because as the Gemara is going to quote, Rabbi Yechinen ben Masya disagrees, and that's like Rav. It's not like Luna Mishnah, later on the Pegimel and Aleph says, Maitse Rabbi Yechinen ben Masya Shamal Abnai, it was an incident with Rabbi Yechinen ben Masya, that said to his son, Tse v'sachol on the poilim, go out and hire for us workers. So halach upasik lamazayin, so his son went out, hired workers, and he promised them he's going to feed the workers when they're working. Now, Okushabai, it's love when he came to his father and he told him what he did. So Amalai, his father said to him, Bani, my son, Afilato Islam Kasud the Shlema Beshaita, even if you're going to do for these workers, as the meals that were when Shlema was at his height of royalty, which he was the wealthiest person on the planet, Layotzi Dechayv Schaimam, you have not fulfilled your obligation now to feed them if you promise them you're going to feed them. Shehim b'nei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, because they're the sons of royalty of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So what you did, you promised them food, they're going to clean this out. We're not going to have to feed them enough. Ella, rather, he told his son, actually, eschila b'malacha, until they don't start to work, tzev amalem, go ahead and change and tell them, amanah she'en lechem alai ela pasav kidnes b'lvad, only on the condition, I'm going to feed you guys, on the condition that I only have to give you bread and legumes, but I'm not going to feed you the way it normally would be, that I would have to feed you like the sons of Ram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So essentially he told his son to change the terms of the contract before they didn't start working, and to make the load and the obligation of feeding them much lighter. Says the Gemara, if you would entertain not like Rav, that backing out of words is considered a lack of faithfulness, so how could he tell his son to go retract from the terms of the contract if they already had an oral commitment and that's considered mechosei mana? Obviously, this Tana holds like Rav. Another Gemara says, no raya. Shani Hasam, there in that incident was different. The poyelim gufayu, because the workers themselves, they did not rely on the words of the son. And therefore, there was no commitment because even the other party wasn't going to hold them to that commitment. My time, what's the reason? They know that the son relies on the father. He was just the shliach of the father, and therefore they said, okay, that's what the son said, but let's wait in here till the father. And that's why there was no oral commitment at all, because they weren't relying on what the son said. But maybe if there was, then actually he this time would disagree with Rav too and would hold that it would be mechosei mana of backing out. Now, the Gemara says, Ihachi, but if that's the case, afilu hischila b'malachanami. If you're saying that the workers did not rely on what the son had to say, so why is it that the father said that it's only if they didn't start working, even if they started working too, but they weren't reliant on the terms of the contract, so they should be able to back out the father and son even after they started working? The Gemara says, no, hischila b'malacha v'adei samcha datayin. No, had they had started working, then for sure the workers would have been reliant on the words of the son. Because Amr, they would have said, meimar amr kamedavu, he must have told over the terms of the contract to his father and said what he committed to us. V'nichle, and obviously the father was agreeing with it and okay with it, and therefore that then they would be reliant on them. And then the terms of the contract would have been an orally binding contract, which would have created a situation of mechosri amana, and therefore the Gemara says no raya to Rav that he finds a Tana like him, because we could even say that this Tana would hold that it would be a problem mechosri amana, but there was no, because there was no oral commitment at all, because the workers didn't rely on what the words of the son were until they started working. Now the Gemara asks, Umi Amir Rabbi Yechanan Hachi. So this was a machlekes between Rav and Rabbi Yechanan. Now the Gemara asks, is Rabbi Yechanan really say this, that if someone just gives an oral commitment, if he backs out, he's considered mechosri amana, he's considered a lack of faithfulness? But Va'amar Rabbi Bechana Amir Rabbi Yechanan, Besero B'nim Rabbi Yechanan, Ha'imelech Aveiroi, Matana Ani Noisen Lach. If someone says to his friend, I'm going to give you a gift, says Rabbi Yechanan, Yochal Achzabai, he could retract from giving him the gift. Now, the question that we had in this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan was, Yochal, he could? Pshita, obviously, because the recipient didn't do Mashiach yet, and as we said in the halacha of our mission, opening up this parak, there's no authority unto the courts to enforce a kinyan unless Mashiach was done with the object. So Ella, rather, obviously, what Rabbi Yechanan was saying was, is not just that he could, but that it's mutter lachzboi, that he's actually permitted to retract. In other words, that it's not even going to be mechus aman, that I'm going to be lacking in faithfulness. Now that contradicts what we just quoted before from Yechanan, that says that if someone backs out of an oral commitment, he is considered mechus aman. So Amar Papa, he qualifies these halachas of Rabbi Yechanan that it shouldn't be contradiction. He says, umayder Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan agrees, b'matana mu'etas, in a small gift, where there he would not be allowed to retract. And that's because the samcha datayu, then the recipient would have been reliant on the words of the one who was gifting him this gift. And when we said that Rabbi Yechanan said that he could back out, was talking about when he promised him a large gift. This is, okay, yeah, people say they're going to give me stuff. He's not reliant on the words that he says, that he's going to fulfill his words. And therefore, that is where it depends. Rabbi Yechanan holds that there is a problem with chosem ana, but that's only by a small gift. By a large gift is where he holds that there's no problem chosem ana. And the Gemara actually says, hachanam mistabra. It's actually logical to say this from a different statement of Rabbi Yechanan. The Amr Bavo Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Bavo said the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Yisrael sh'amal ben Levi. A Yisrael that gave to a Levi, that he said to a Levi, Kur Meiser yesh lecha b'yadi. There's a Kur, which is a measurement of Meiser that I have of yours by me. In other words, I had Tevel, and I separated Trumas and Meiser, so I have a bunch of Meiser. So I'm going to give you my Meiser, so I have Meiser for you by me. Now, says Rabbi Yechanan, Ben Levi reshoi la'saisi Trumas Meiser. So now the Levi is allowed to go ahead and make that Meiser into his Trumas Meiser, and that is when a Levi gets Meiser. He has to take off a tenth of that tenth and give that as a tenth to the Kohen, which is called Trumas Meiser. So, says Rabbi Yechanan, automatically, once the Yisrael tells the Levi that he has for him Meiser, he's allowed to say, oh, how much do you have a Kur for me? He could already designate that Meiser as his Trumas Meiser, I mean, because he has his own Meiser, he has a bunch of, and he has to take off a tenth of all his Meisers. He says, I'm going to designate that Meiser that you're going to give me as my Trumas Meiser. I'm welcome after for the Meiser that I have somewhere else to give that already straight to the Kohen for this, his Trumas Meiser. And that says the Gemara, says Rav Papa, if you say that the Yisrael cannot back out, so that's why the Levi is allowed to do this. In other words, he can rely on what it says in the Pasuk in Zephaniah, that She'eris Yisrael lo yasa avla, the remnant of the Jewish people, they do not do bad things. But like Dabachazav, they don't lie. They don't say falsehood in their words. In other words, the Levi could rely that the Yisrael is not going to give it to another Levi once he gave his word that he's giving it to him. And moreover, like we said before, since it's a small gift that he promised him, why is it a small gift? Because even though he's giving a large amount to Meiser, that Meiser is not the Yisrael's. The only thing that the Yisrael have that he's gifting to that Levi is his Tevas Anah, is that he could choose who to give it to. So that's just a small amount of value that that has. He could sell it to somebody else who would want to have it, give it to his grandchild. So that's a small gift. So Mishem Hachir Rishai, so that's why the Levi could go ahead and designate it already for his Trumas Meiser. Elei Amrit Motzil Mahadirbe, but if you'd entertain to say that the Yisrael could back out, like the way Rav had said it, so Samai Rishai. So then why would Rabbi Yechonon say that the Levi could designate it as his Trumas Meiser? Ishtakech to Ka'achal Tzvalim. If the Yisrael ends up backing out and gives that Meiser to another Levi, and then this Levi had already eaten his Meiser, which is Tevel, until he gives Trumas Meiser, his own Meisers from his Meiser to the Kayan, if he ends up eating it and the Levi never and the Yisrael never gives it to him, it turns out that he ends up eating Tevel. Obviously, you see from Rabbi Yechonon that you see like Rabbi Yechonon's halacha that when it's a small gift, that's when the one who's gifting it can, even though it's just an oral commitment, cannot back out. Again, as we said, by a matana mu'etis. And that the Gemara says, no, actually, no raya. Hacha ma'iskinen, what are we talking about over here in this halacha of Rabbi Yechonon? Is kegain shede tolei mimenu. It's actually talking about not only did the Yisrael promise it to the Levi actually took the ma'isa from the Yisrael. So he did a meshicha, and then he went and he gave it back to the Yisrael to hold it for him as a deposit until, let's say, he's able to take it. So therefore, over there, okay, there everyone would agree, and that wouldn't be even not like Rav, that of course that the Yisrael cannot back out. And that's why Bechon would say that he could go ahead and make it as a Trumas Maisa of somewhere else. But there's no raya that, as we said for the resolution of the two opinions of Rabbi Yechonon, that of course he holds that you cannot back out when it's a Matana Mu'atas. Now the Gemara asks, but if it's the way that you're rejecting the proof, then Amos Sefer, look at the end of the halacha. It says, Nasnu leben Levi Acher. If let's say the Yisrael ends up backing out, and he actually gives that Meiser to a different Levi. So says Rabbi Yechonon, Ein Loi, so that first Levi that was promised it, doesn't have a love on this Yisrael who had promised it to him, Ela Tarumas, he only has complaints. In other words, he had guaranteed him a guarantee that he didn't follow through on. But all he has is a grudge, but nothing more halachically as to bring him to court. So says the Gemara, V'isal Gadaitach, that if you would entertain to say, the way you're trying to reject the Raya, and you're trying to say that, no, of course, there it's a problem, because the Levi had taken it from him, and then given back to him, that's why the Yisrael can't back out, and that's Rabbi Yechonon says that he could rely on it. But maybe Rabbi Yechonon actually, that wouldn't be like the resolution that was saying would hold, like his other statement, that no, actually, that he could back out. But then, am I in a love, Ela Tarumas, then how would we understand Rabbi Yechonon saying, if he had taken it from him, the Levi? He did Mashiach and then gave it back to the Yisrael. So then when he gives it to another Levi, you're saying that he would only have complaints? Only a grudge? But how could you say that? Even the Mashche, once the Levi, that first Levi did Mashiach on it, he already drew it to himself. Mamoina is the Gabe. He already has a monetary claim against it. He already owns it. So how could you say it would only have Tarumas? Allah Shema Minash, rather the Gemara goes back to the proof. It must be like we said before, but Deloi Notloi. That actually the first Levi had not taken it, and it was only an oral commitment that the Yisrael had from him, and still that would create a mechusa mana, so Shema Mino, obviously it's like the resolution that we gave. How do we resolve those two different statements of Rabbi Yechonon, if it is considered a problem or not? Is, if it's a small gift, then the recipient is confident, then even just an oral commitment that would be mechusa mana, as we're describing over here in this halacha of the Yisrael, who the Tevashna is a small gift, and therefore he cannot back out, and that's why the recipient could be the Levi, the first Levi could be confident and make a Trumas Maisa somewhere else. But the other halacha of Rabbi Yechonon is talking about a large gift, then he's not confident, then he's not reliant, then it's not even considered like an oral commitment, and that's when the one who's giving the gift could back out, and there, according to everybody, would not be considered Mechus HaMana. Nothing more continues, related incident. A certain person that had given money for sesame seeds. He had paid for the sesame seeds, but he never took it. Now, ultimately, before he ever ended up taking Mashiach on the item that he bought, the sesame seeds, the price of sesame seeds went up in price. So the sellers retracted, because they don't want to give it to him anymore for the cheaper price that they sold him. And they said to him, "Less lunch shumshmi, we don't have sesame seeds to sell. Shakal zuzach, take your money back." Because they don't want to sell it anymore. Now it's say they could get double, triple the amount of money they can get for it. Now, says the Gemara, Lei Shakal Zuzi. That guy, the consumer, didn't take his money back. He's very upset. No, I'm going to take my money back. I already paid for it. Ignuv, what ended up happening was actually the money was stolen. The money that he kept by the sellers, that money was stolen. So Asla Kamid Rava, they came in front of Rava, what's the halacha? So Amar Lei, he said to him, to the consumer, Kivan de Amrilach, Shakal Zuzach, Bele Shakla, since they told you, take your money and you didn't take it, Loy Mebaye Shemesachad Lehava, not only are they not considered as if they're guardians who get paid for it, and to make them liable for Geneva Veda, But actually, they're not even like an unpaid guardian. In other words, and even had they been negligent with their shmirah, totally negligent, they left the cash register wide open, and that's how the money was stolen, which even the shemechinim would be chayiv, still they would be exempt because they're not even your guardian at all. They said, take your money back, and you didn't take it. Now, on that, which is this next part, is the related part of our Gemara's discussion. Amrli Rabban l'Rava, but the rabbis asked the Rava, but v'haboy l'kabuli aleh b'mishapara, but the sellers still need to accept upon themselves a mishapara. In other words, what they were asking to Rava was, maybe the sellers won't accept when they're told that, look, you're allowed to back out halachically, because although he paid, but he didn't do mishicha, which is the halacha of our opening mishnah. But you have to accept upon yourself a mishapara. Oh, and then they say, no, I don't want the mishapara, I don't want the Hashem who punishes the Dar HaMidba, the Dar HaMabla, the Dar HaFlogah should punish me. If they don't accept it, turns out that it was actually their monies because they're not backing out and they owed him the sesame seeds. If it's their monies, then their loss and not the consumer's loss. So then they would have to pay him. So how could you say that this guy, they don't have to pay him at all and it's his loss? If they're not accepting the mishapara, then they do have to pay him. So the rabbi said to them, Hachinami, you're right, it is like that. Either the halacha is that they have to give him the sesame seeds or they have to accept upon themselves the mishapara. I'm saying if they accept themselves the mishapara, then it's his loss because they weren't accepting upon themselves as even a shemichinim. Now, Amar Papi, however, Papi said that Amali Ravina said to me, Lididi, Papi was saying over what Ravina had said to him, that Ravina was saying over, that Lididi Amali Homer Abanan. To me, it was said over from one of the rabbis, Rav Tvus Shmei, and his name was Rav Tvus. Vamilan, somebody was actually Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei, that his name was Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra. That the ihave yavi le kol chalol d'alma, if they would give him everything, every treasure that's in this world, lahava kumashani b'dibur, he wouldn't change his words. He wouldn't deviate from the truth. And b'didi hava uvda, and he says that with me, that story of the sesame seeds happened. But he said it's not the way it was reported. Because said this rabbi, whichever it was, if Rav Tvus or Rav Shmuel Bazutra, had it been that I had received money, that a consumer was coming to buy my sesame seeds, I would never have retracted for all the money in the world. And it wasn't regarding that we had gone to Rava to litigate. Rather, it was the following scenario. Hahu Yaima, that day, Apanya Demali Shabbos Havi. It was Erev Shabbos, it was Friday afternoon. Vahavi Sivna, and I was sitting. Vasahu Gavi Vakai Bav, and there was a certain person that came by the door. Amali, this guy said to me, Islach Shum Shemil Zvuni, do you have sesame seeds to sell? So as we continue on to Amid Beis, Amri Lei Eloi, I said to him, no, I don't have any more sesame seeds. Amalisa said to me, and this guy was running last second to get sesame seeds, he probably didn't have time to get home for Shabbos with money. So he says, okay, look, Lahava Hanach Zuzi Bipakotin Gabach, let these monies, I came to buy sesame seeds for Shabbos, let this money, I can't buy from you, let it be a deposit by you, you should watch it for me. The Chashkali, because it's getting dark, it's Shabbos, I can't even go home with sesame seeds I could walk home with, the Eruv, but I can't go home with money. So Amri Lei, so this Rabbanan had said to that person, I said to him, look, Habesa Kamach, my house is open for you. Isvina Bevesa, put in the house. And the Ignev and it got stolen. Now, that's what Osla Kameh the Rava, they came in from the Rava, Amar Lei, he said to him, Kol Habesa Kamach, whenever, every situation of when a person tells him, the whole house is in front of you. It was regards to that Rav had said, not only is he not watching for pay, he's not even a guardian who's doing it for free. And therefore he's not going to be liable, even if he was negligent, because he wasn't taking any responsibility. He says, look, my house is open, you want to put stuff in, fine, but I'm not taking responsibility. Now, Ravina was the one who said this over in the name of that Rabban, who said that he was the person in that story. Now, so Ravina said that I'm related, that I said to that, let's say it was Rav Tvus, I said to him, to that Rabbanan, how could you say that this story was not regarding, as was originally said over, backing out of a sale, but Amrile Rabban Rava, but as we had recorded, that the Rabbanan, after Rava said his Pesach, said to him, that the one who backed out, the seller has to at least accept upon himself a Mishapara. But the way you're describing it has nothing to do with a sale, there was no sale, it's just regarding if taking responsibility for watching the guy's money or not. V'amarli, and that's what that Rabban had said to me, said Ravina, that lo hayu dvar ma'olam. That addendum to the story never happened. That was never part of the story. It has nothing to do with that halacha about backing out of one's word, the backing out of a transaction, because that's not the story. The story was totally different. The guy that came, he came to buy sesame seeds, but I didn't sell him, and he came just to put it because it was Shabbos, and I didn't take any responsibility, and that's where the story ends. There is no question of the Rabban to Rava that of accepting a mishapara. Now the Gemara continues from the halacha of our Mishnah that opened up this perek. Reb Shimon Aimer, he disagreed with the halacha of the Rabban in our Mishnah. He said that although the Rabban said that when money is given, each one could back out, but there is a mishapara. He says no. Kol shakesa biyadai, whoever has the money in his hand, meaning the meicher, where if he already had the money, although that the lekech didn't do mishicha on the object, yadai al yoyin b'chulu, so the seller has the upper hand. He's holding on to the merchandise and on the money. He gets to decide, but the consumer cannot back out anymore. That's the opinion of Reb Shimon. So Tanya Lina Brice that expounds on this halacha, Reb Shimon said, "A masai, when is there a someone that could retract?" Meaning the Rabbanan said that when the money is given, if there was no mashiachet, both could back out. And that Reb Shimon disagrees and he says, "When did we say that if the money was given that they could back out?" That's bizman shakesev aperis biad hamoicha. That's when the money and the produce, the product, are both in the hands of the meicher. That's what Reb Shimon said, that then the seller could back out, because for the benefit of the keach, that the Rabbanan gave it in the opportunity of the meicher to back out, so that if, let's say, something happens where there's a fire in the house of the seller, where normally he wouldn't, because he would say, "Ha, it's already sold, it's the consumer stuff, I'm not going to put my neck out to save it." But if he says that it's his, that he can back out, and if it goes up a price, he'll save money himself, so he'll put his life out there, he'll save it for the lekach. So it's the meicher that could back out when he's holding on to both the money and the product. But if, let's say, the meicher, the seller, only has the money, but the product is already in the hand of lekach, then the seller cannot back out. Because the money is already in the hand of what it sounds like that the Brice is saying is that because the consumer already received his money. So the question is, in the hand of the consumer? No, the money is in the hand of the seller, not in the hand of the consumer. So the Gemara says, you're right, because already the value of the money, meaning the mekach, the product, is already in the hand of the lekach, so then it's already too late. Since he already let go of the product, he already did mishich on it, that's when even Reb Shimon would agree that, no, the seller cannot back out over there. Now, on that halacha, the Gemara is pshita, obviously, because the consumer already did mishich on the product, even the Rabban agree that no one could back out then anymore. So what is the chiddush of Reb Shimon saying that in that case that no one could back out? So Rava, he says, what we're talking about here in this case is kigoyin shahisa aliyah shelekiach. The attic of the consumer was muskeres biad meicher. The shop of the seller was actually in the attic of the consumer, and moreover, that means to say that the payers were now in the property of the consumer. Now, as Rashi points out, the Gemara is not coming to say that, therefore, that the, like, as if the chatzir of the lekeach is acquiring for him the payers because it's in his property. When he gives money, it's already acquiring, and that's not the case. Because since the lekeach, the consumer, who's the landowner, who owns the property, and he actually just rents out his attic to the seller, since the seller pays money for rent for the attic, that area is totally owned by the renter, and it's considered the chatzer of the meicher. But what Reb Shimon's coming to say is that his opinion was recorded according to everybody, as we mentioned previously on Mem Zayin Beis, that money acquires according to biblical halacha, and mishicha is only rabbinic injunction. What the Gemara is saying is that here in this case there is no requirement of the takana drabanan. Why? Because time and might the kin rabban mashicha. What was the reason why the rabbis instituted that the kin is not going to be with the biblical halacha of mois, of money acquiring, and you need to have mashicha? Is a gezera, is a rabbinic decree. Shema yemoloi nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah, because maybe what's going to happen is the consumer is going to buy. He's going to pay for it. And that's considered a kinyan. Now, although he didn't pick up, he didn't have his U-Haul truck, he wasn't able to take this stuff yet, but it's considered that it's his. It just happens to be in the Shrus HaMeicher. If there's a fire in the seller's properties, seller's not going to go ahead and save it. He's going to say, look, your stuff got burnt in the attic. Now, that's why we say that, no, it's not considered yet a halachic transfer, and it's still considered the Rishus of the Meicher, so that if a fire happens, he'll go ahead and try to save it. Here it's in the domain of the Lekeach. In other words, when we said that it's already in the domain of the Lekeach, it's not because that he did Meshicha, as we originally assumed. It's because that it's already his Rishus, because it's his attic. Enough of the Lekeach Ba'inus. In this situation, if a fire is going to happen, there's no Gezer Drabbanan, because Iyu Tarcha Maisela, he himself is going to go ahead and save his stuff from the fire. So therefore, again, there's no need for the Gezer Drabbanan. So we're back to the biblical law, which again, according to Rabbi Shimon, everyone agrees is Mois Kindness. And that's the Chiddush, that the Kinyan is going to be once it's done, not because it's in the Rishus of the Lekeach, the product, because he did Meshicha. How else does he have it? Because we're talking about that it's in his attic, and if it's in his attic, so then there's no reason for the Gezer Drabbanan, and that's the Chiddush, yes, which actually is only according to Rabbi Shimon, not according to Drabbanan, because actually the Lekeach did not do Meshicha. That's the Chiddush, that here, since it's in his Rishus, not through Meshicha, but rather because it's his attic, that then there's no need for the Gezer Drabbanan, and therefore the derisa the Gedin of having it being kinda through mice, which the money was given already, to the meicher, that then no one could retract because the sale is final with the mice kindness. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halachas that Hahu Gavra, the Yoav Zuzi Achamad, was a certain person that gave money to buy wine. Now Lasayiv Shama, at the end he heard, the Kabay Leminsevei Debe Parzak, that the household of this government official, Parzak, who was Rafila, who was the secondary to the king, wanted to go ahead and confiscate and take that wine. So he already paid for it, but he's like, wait a second, I don't want this anymore because it's going to be a total loss. So Amalei, so he said to the seller, before he did Meshicha, although he gave money, Havli Zuzi Loi Bein Nacham, he says, give me my money, I don't want wine anymore. So Asla came in Rav Chizda, so he came from Rav Chizda, Amalei, he said to him, Kederuch Shetiknu Meshicha B'Meichrin, just like we instituted Meshicha by the seller, in other words, that the seller could back out, as long as the Lekeach did not do Meshicha, although money was given, that he could back out, the seller could, Kach tikna Meshicha b'lekuchus. So too, they instituted that the halacha of requiring Meshicha, that up until Meshicha is done, that the Meicher could back out, so too, they instituted that the Lekeach could also back out. That's also included in that Gezer Drabbanan, which was originally done for the Tekon Lekeach, is not just that the Meicher could back out, because that will then incentivize it for him to save it, thus considered in his domain, and therefore we say that he could back out, so too even the Lekeach could back out, and therefore, although he gave money, but since he didn't yet do Meshicha, he could back out, and therefore he could save his money, that when the wine's going to be confiscated, it's going to be the loss of the seller, not of the buyer. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the second Mishnah of the theme of our Perek, which takes on the primary theme throughout the Perek, talking about, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding doing things wrongly regarding a sale, regarding Mekech HaMemker. Here we continue with the halachas of Oino. Oino is the halacha of price fraud, which is when something, there is a sale, that if it's being over or undercharged, which it could go either way for the loss of the seller or that of the consumer. So the Mishnah qualifies this halacha. Oino, the halacha of price fraud, is arba, our four mois of kesef, silver mois, which is six of them are in a dinner, me'esrim va'arba kesef l'sela, from 24 silver mois that are in a sela. In other words, if the product that's being purchased is worth a sela, which are 24 mois, so then the oina is going to be four out of 24, which is a total of shtus lemekach. It's a sixth of the product. In other words, when there's an over or undercharge of 4 out of 24, which is a sixth, then he has to return the entirety of that price fraud, which are 4 kesef. That's the halacha of Eina. Now, says the Mishnah, ad masay muta lahachzer, until how long does the one who was over or undercharged have a time to back out? Meaning, because he was taken advantage of. Now, Rashi just points out, this that it says, up until how long is he permitted to, is coming to teach us that there's not even going to be a Mishapara, because although we mentioned in the previous mission that backing out of a sale is a Mishapara, although let's say only money was given, but there was no Meshicha, although you're allowed to, although you could back out, but halachically there's a problem Mishapara, here, there's no problem that he could even back out of the total sale, or he could at least have to have that the amount of the Aina, the of the price fraud, have to be given back to him. So how much time does he have? So says the Mishnah, Ad Kedei Sheyirah, until that it takes the amount of time to show what he bought, either Latagar or Lekraivai, to a merchant or to his relative. But if he delayed longer than that amount of time, then that is already considered Mechila, forgiving of the overcharge, and then he can't back out anymore from the sale. Now, that's the Tanakama, that it's a sixth of the product. Now, Hoy Reb Tarfon Belud, but Reb Tarfon, he had taught in Lud, that Hoyna, that actually the Aloha Hoyna is Shmeine Kesef Me'esem Arbo Kesef L'Sel. It's actually 8 silver coins out of 24 which are in the Sela, which is Shlish L'Mekach, not a sixth, but actually a third of the product. And B'samchut Tagari Lud, and therefore the merchants of Lud were very happy because they were very proficient in marketing and selling, and they would overcharge by a lot. So therefore now their margin is not just a sixth, but it's even up to a third. But Amalam, but Reb Tarfon said to the merchants, but the consumer could back out the entire day if he realizes that it was overcharged. So Amalai, they said to him, let Reb Tarfon leave us in our place. They went back to the opinion of the sages. Because although the sages only allowed a margin of a sixth, but at least it was a small amount of time. If the consumer delays the amount of time it takes to show a merchant or his relative, he lost out. Versus Reb Tarfon, although he went up to a third, but he gave the person the whole entire day, and it wasn't worth it for them. And then they went back to the halacha of the Rabbanim. Now, regarding this whole halacha concept of Einah, the Gemara brings the following machlokes amayram. Itma, we learned as follows. Rav Amar, shtus mekach sheninu. That when our Mishnah picked the case, which was a case of a sixth of the product, it was specifically a sixth of the product. In other words, if the price fraud is a sixth of the value of the product, that's going to be considered enough. But let's say if it's less than a sixth or more than a sixth, although that it's going to be, let's say, a sixth of the amount of money that was given, that's not considered the halacha of shtus of enough to be the halacha of enough. Now, what the relevancy is, because the halacha of enough is that a sixth, the sale is going to be valid, and none of them could actually back out of the sale, but the Einah, that amount has to be given back. But if, let's say, the overcharging was less than a sixth, then it's considered automatic mechila if he went through with that sale, and he doesn't have to give him back anything. And actually, if it's more than a sixth, then actually both of them could back out. And even if one of them wants to give back what he had overcharged, both of them could still back out, as the Gemara tells us later on the Avnonim at base. So the halacha of Einah exactly is by exactly a sixth, according to Tanakama. That says, Rav, it's only a sixth of the product. And then it was overcharged a sixth of that. That's the halacha of Einah. But Shmuel Amar, he disagrees. He says, shtus mois namishaninu. The halacha of shtus, which again is exactly a sixth, because if it's less than a sixth, it's forgiven, and more than a sixth, actually the whole sale is void. So it's only by a sixth that the sale is valid, but that amount of overcharge has to be given back. Says Shmuel, the halacha that our Mishnah spoke about, a sixth of the product, is not specifically only a sixth of the product. But it's actually regarding the entire conditions of the sale that are included in the halacha of shtus. In other words, it's not just by when you overcharge a sixth of the product, so it's regards to the money that was given, to the value in contrast to the value of the object. Wherever you'll find a shtus, it'll be considered a na, whether regards to the money or whether regards to the object that was being sold, it'll give it halacha of a na. And therefore, there's no mechila, and there's no voiding of the entire sale. And now the Gemara explains their machlokes. Shavi shisa bechamsha. If, let's say, something that's worth 6 was actually sold for 5. Now, that was undercharged, and the one who had the price for it was actually the seller. Or let's say shavi shisa b'shiva. Let's say something that's worth 6 was actually overcharged. It was paid for 7. So the einah here that was lost out, the one who got frauded, was the consumer. Says the Gemara, in those two situations, Kula Amma, both Rav and Shmuel, Loi Pligi, they wouldn't disagree. The Basa Mekach Hazlina, that we go after the product. Vayna Havi, and it's going to be considered Aina, because it's a sixth in regards to the product. Where, as Rashi points out, that Shmuel agrees that he's only adding on that it's the halacha of Shus would also apply by the money. But for sure, it's going to apply when it's a sixth of the thing that was being bought regarding the product. Now, Ki Pligi, when do they disagree? Is shavi chamsha b'shisa, when something worth 5 was sold for 6, meaning when the previous case we said something 6 worth for 7, when you take a sixth of 6, you get 1. That's what was overcharged, which was a sixth, which was taking it to 7. But let's say it's worth 5, and then it was sold for 6. where now the consumer was overcharged a zuz, which is a fifth of the product. The product is worth five. A fifth of that is one. That added on, it was sold for six. So that's more than the shtus. Now, but if you conceptualize it regarding the money that was given, that is a sixth. Because the money is six. If you view it that way, from the five to the six, a sixth of that is, if you work backwards, so to speak, from the money, it's a sixth down to the to how much the product is worth. Or let's say b'shavi shiva b'shita. Let's say something that's worth seven was undersold for six. Now, the seller lost out as us. Now, in regards to the product, there is no shtus. It's actually a seventh. Now, less than a shtus is going to be considered mechila. But in regards to the money, it's a sixth. Because if you take it down from seven to six, that's where that the product was worth seven. But the money that was given, it's a sixth of in regards to the money. So that's what the Gemara says. L'shmul the amabasa moises lina. In regard to Shmuel, that says you also base it on the money. So then, edi, both of these cases, whether it was something that was worth seven and was undersold for six, or whether it was worth five and was oversold for six, aynahav, it's going to be considered aynah. But l'rav the amabasa mekechaz, and according to Rav, this is we only go based on, we qualify a sixth based on the product. Then, shavi chamsha b'shita bitl mekechav. So then, in these two cases, it's not going to be considered the halacha of aynah, of ishtos. The one that was worth five and was sold for six, that's actually a fifth. So that's going to be actually voiding the sale. And Shavi Shiva Beshita, Mechila Hava, the one that was worth seven that was undersold for six, so that's a seventh based on the product. Regarding the money, it's a sixth. But regarding the sale, it's going to be considered Mechila, and therefore it's totally forgiven and the sale goes through. But Shmuel Amar, he says, no, Ki Amrina Mechila Bita Mekach, when do we say that if it's under a sixth, it's going to be forgiven. And if it's over a sixth, it's going to void the sale. That's hecha deleka shtus. That's when you don't have a sixth in one of mishneit stadim. In either one of these two ways, you're not going to have a shtus, neither of the product or of the money. Aval hecha deleka shtus mitzad echad, aina havi. But if you have a sixth, either of the product or of the money, if you work backwards that way, then it's going to be considered shtus, and it has the unique halacha vayna, where the sale goes through, but the money that was over or undercharged goes back to the victim, to the party that was victim. That's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Says the Gemara Tznan, seemingly we learned in our Mishnah like Shmuel. The Mishnah says, Hayna, when it qualifies Halacha Vayna, says it's Dalad Kesef, Me Esrim Babor Kesef L'Sela. It's 4 out of 24 coins which are in a Sela, which is Shtus L'Mekach. It's a sixth, says the Mishnah, of the sale. Now, my love, if you read this simple translation of the case, it sounds like it's Dezavin Shavi Esrim Be'esrim Ve'arba, where something that was worth 20 was sold for 24. And that's what's saying that now it's a of 4 kesef, because it went up from 20 to 24, which that is, that's what the Mishnah is qualifying, is a sixth of the sale. Now, Ushma Minah, Shtus Mois, Namishanin, is obviously, but that's a case of, it's actually a fifth of the product, because a 4 out of 20 is a fifth. 4 out of 24, which you're qualifying based on the money, that is going to be a sixth. So therefore, you see that Allah of Shtus applies to money too, meaning to the money that was spent, not to how much the product was worth. So that's like Shmuel. So the Gemara, no, Dezav and Shavi Esrim Ba'abah Be'esrim. It's actually was the other way around. It was something that was worth 24, that was undersold, down to 20, and that's where it's a shtus of the mekach. So therefore, it was a loss for the seller, but it's in the product that had the sixth, not in the money. And that the Gemara asks, minasana meicha, could you really explain the halacha of our Mishnah that the one that was being frauded was the seller, that it was being undersold? But Amos Seifa, look at the end. The Mishnah says, ad masay mutal hachza. So we said we qualified the halacha vayinah. We said, so how much time did he have to back out? Said the Mishnah, the amount of time that he has to show to a merchant or to his relative and say what the sale that was done. Now, Ba'am Rav Nachman qualified the halacha of a Mishnah. He said that Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that you only have the amount of time that you could show it to a merchant or your relative, is El Lekeach. It's only a consumer who has the product. Aval, but if let's say the one that was in this Nisana was the Meicha, was the seller, Lo Oilam Chayzer, he could always back out. Now, the Gemara, Nun Aleph and Aleph will explain the reason for that. But seemingly, you can't then say the halacha of a Mishnah is talking about the Meicha, because the Mishnah is saying you only have the amount of time to show it to a Tag or to a Karev, and that only applies to a Lekeach, not to a Meicha. So you can't say that it was 24 down to 20 to be able to say like Rav, not like Shmuel. So El Rav, the Gemara gives a different resolution for Rav. The Zavin Shavi Esrim Ba'arba Be'esrim B'Tamani. It was actually something that was worth 24 that was then oversold to 28. Where again, that's a shtus of the mekach of the product, and it was a enough for lekach. That's a case where it was a shtus of meaning it was a sixth of four coins going up from 24 to 28, but not from 20 to 24, because that, yes, that would be like Shmuel, but it was actually from 24 to 28, which is a sixth of four coins of the product, not of the money. Sigma continues trying to bring a riot to Shmuel Tznan. We learned additionally in our Mishnah that Hoy Reb Tarfon B'Lud, Reb Tarfon had taught in Lud, not like the Tana Kama. He says, Hoy no ishmoine kesev me'esem rabba kesev l'sela. It's actually 8 out of 24 ma'ois that are in a sela, which is shlish l'mekech. There's actually a third, you could overcharge up until a third of the product to be considered a no. Says the Gemara, my love, again, the simple translation of the case sounds like, Dizavin Shavi Shitzra Be'esem Rabba, that something that's worth 16 was oversold for 24. So obviously we see that the halacha of the Aino, which according to Tafrin is a third, that was a third of the monies, because it was from 16 to 24, which is overcharging of 8 coins. That's, again, being qualified based on the money spent, not on how much the product is worth. So I think Mar says, no, it's talking about the Zavin Shavi Esrim Ba'arba B'Shitzah. It's actually something that was worth 24, that was undersold for 16. Again, that's being qualified based on the product, that it's a third of, not of the money that was spent. And that the Gemara again asked, like it did in the previous part of the Mishnah, who meanest Anna? What are you saying? So who's the one that's getting frauded? It's the Meicher. It was undersold from 24 to 16. So says the Gemara, but Amos Seifa. Look at the later on, the Mishnah says that Amalahem, Sir Tarfon, that would have qualified this halacha, and he says, Kala Yemutalachzer. But the entire day, the one who was frauded could back out. Now, V'am Reb Nachum said that Lo Yishana El Likech, that this halacha of that you could back out, which again Reb Tarfon extends it more than Tana Kama, but it's still only the entire day. Said Reb Nachum, that's only the consumer. Avol Meichel Olam Chayza, but a seller could always back out. So clearly, you see that the halacha Reb Tarfon is not talking about that the Meichel was frauded. So you can't say it's talking about that we went down from 24 to 16. Rather, it's from the 16 to 24. And again, you see like Shmuel that it's a third of the monies, not that was money was spent, and not of the mekach. And the Rav, the Gemara resolves for Rav that again, like I said in the previous case, the Zavin Shavi Chav Dalid Betlasim Betrain. It's actually something that was worth 24 that was then overcharged for 32, which again, then yes, the 8 is a third of the Mekach and not of the Mois. So therefore, there's no right to Shmuel. But the Gemara does say that Tanika Vasei de Shmuel, we have a Brice that says like Shmuel, that whether it's a sixth of the Mekach or even a sixth of the money would be considered the Halacha Vayna. Because the Brice says, Mi Shehutel, the person that it was placed upon him, it was placed the Aina, Allah, on him, meaning the one that was frauded, Yadei Al Yoina. So the victim has the upper hand. Says the Brisa Ketzad, how so? Machulei Shaveh Hebevav, let's say something that was worth 5 was sold to him for 6. So Minasana, who was frauded? It was Lekech, the consumer paid an extra Zuz. Says the Brisa, Yad Lekech Al Yoina, so the consumer has the upper hand. What does that mean? If he wants, he could say, give me my money. Either give me my money back, meaning he could void the sale, or he says, give me at least what I was frauded. So, but he could choose between the two. Now, if let's say he sold to him, as we continue to talk about Nun Men Alf, the other way around. Something's worth 6 was sold for 5, which is a shtus of the Mekach. Minasana, who was frauded? That was the Meicher, the seller was frauded. So Yad Meichel Yonah, so then the seller has the upper hand, which again, Rotzal Imrali Tenli Micha, he could say, give me my product back, because I was frauded, it was undersold. I Tenli Masha Yonah Sani, or give me back what the fraud was, but let the sale go through. But one thing that we see is that the first case was saying, something that was worth 5 was sold for 6, that extra Zuz is actually a fifth of the product, but it's a sixth of the money, which is a brisa that supports Shmuel, that even a sixth, not only of the mekach, but even the shtus of the mois, is also going to qualify either one as halacha of shtus, which again is the unique halacha of aina, that is less than a sixth is meichel, more than a sixth is the whole thing is voided, but exactly a sixth is where the sale could be valid, but then the aina, the amount that was frauded, has to go back. It's even when you qualify it, not based on the product, but if you qualify it based on the monies that was spent, a shtus of that money, or again, Reb Tarfon, the shlish of that money would also qualify for the halacha of Aina.